Perfect. Right, so today we're going to be talking about TempDB, and I thought I'd try and bring the whole British thing in and talk about Sherlock Holmes, even though he's not British, because he's made up, okay? But he's kind of characterised in London, so we'll go with that. So, this is me. My name's Richard Douglas. I'm a senior solutions engineer at Sentry One. Sentry One's a performance monitoring company. We monitor SQL Server, Windows, the whole Microsoft data platform stack, okay? If you want to find out some stuff that I've written before, I've got some blogs up there, my own personal one, sql.richarddouglas.co.uk, as well as stuff that I do for Sentry, which is now the main place that I blog, because well, it's just easier and work like me to do stuff for them. Don't know why. You can follow, but please don't stalk me on Twitter. That's very, very different, you know, nasty stuff, stalking. And there's my email address there. And these slides, well, not this exact deck, but this presentation, will be available on slideshare.net/SQLRich. So don't feel like you need to take copious amounts of notes, okay? So, this is what we're going to be covering today. Sorry, did anyone want that link? It's probably the only photo you're gonna need to take. Okay, perfect. So, this is what we're going to be talking about today. So we're going to be having an intro into TempDB to talk about what TempDB actually is. So before we start, it's good to get a kind of idea of the room, the demographic. So how many people would say their primary job is a DBA? Quite a lot. Okay, primary job, a developer. Okay, business intelligence. Okay, there's got to be a better talk for you than this.
No, not that.
Sure, okay. Right, fair enough. Just don't want people to be unhappy and get lots of red cards. That's the main thing. Okay, so we're then going to be talking about the life of a temporary object, so what we do when we do things like create temporary tables. Talking about the architecture and how we're going to want to set TempDB up within the scope of SQL Server. Then we're going to look at a couple of queries and how they're using TempDB, okay? Then we're going to be looking at some bits and pieces which will help you to understand what's going on inside of TempDB so we can see various different metrics which will allow us to see where things are going terribly, terribly wrong, okay? And there's some weird quotes and things in there as well. So is anybody here not using TempDB currently? I have had a couple of people put their hands up seriously in the past. And then I go, no, you are. You just don't know it yet. Okay. And there might be some cat pictures as well. Okay. There are some seats further down if people want to sit down rather than stand. Okay. All right then. Fair enough. I did offer my seat in the front once and somebody took it. Demos. Never mind. Anyway. So did anybody go to Brent Ozar's session yesterday? Couple of people. He talks about a public toilet. Okay. I'm going to be talking about spills today. Toilet analogy that goes wrong somewhere. Okay. So I'm going to be talking about a kitchen sink instead. Okay. More precisely, a student kitchen sink. Okay. So you know how Brent was talking about how things go in and come out clean? Nah, not going to happen today. Anyway, so what we can think of is these are the key things they're going to use TempDB. Okay, a couple of seats down there. Cool. So I'm going to start with this one first. And the reason for that is my PowerPoint skills are rubbish and I couldn't fit it past a picture. I couldn't really move things around, but I won't do that. So most people are going to think about TempDB in terms of using temporary tables and table variables. Okay. This is where some people go, table variables, they don't write anything, that's all in memory. No, that's not true, okay? It's actually going to use TempDB in the background in certain circumstances, okay? Then some of the other things that you might not have realized, certain query operators are also going to spill to TempDB as well, okay? And if you're in the last session with Pedro, then he talks about some various things in there, okay? And we're going to kind of recap on a couple of those as well. It's obviously some internal objects, so things like joins and aggregations, cursors, those evil things, and also triggers, okay? Now, in 2005, when they introduced the version store, have I cut out? No? Okay. Things like DML triggers would automatically write to the version store, which means it uses copy-on-write technology to push the old information to TempDB. Okay, so there's a big performance hit there. So even if you think you weren't using TempDB and you were using triggers, pretty much are. Okay. Right, so the temporary table creation process. So if anybody wasn't sure what a temporary table is, it's basically this thing up here. So when we're defining it, I don't know if that's me shaking or the screen, possibly both. If I synchronize it, we'll be fine. Okay, so a hash table. Okay, so single hash mark is gonna be a local temporary table, or double would be a global temporary table. Okay, and I've just said blah, 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 because I couldn't think of anything interesting. Okay, but what is going to happen behind the scenes is this thing here. Okay, so is everybody comfortable with pages and extents? Do I need to explain what they are? No? Only takes one person to say yes. No? Okay. So an SGAM is a particular kind of page. It's a special page which will reside inside each database. So the SGAM page will be written to, and in fact a latch has to be placed on this to say, I want to access this page so I can update it. And an SGAM is a shared global allocation map. So it's a special page that helps to map where data is going to go when you're writing it to your data files. The second part is a PFS page. So that's a page-free space page. Okay. So this helps identify where space is available inside these data pages. Okay. So exclusive locks, or latches, which is kind of like a lightweight lock for the purpose of this talk anyway, needs to be put on these particular pages, okay? Now what we're gonna find moving forward is that this can cause you a performance problem, okay? Right, so the other thing worth noting is when I'm talking about this, this is really for 2014 and before. Things changed in 2016 and we'll kind of cover that as well. Okay, so I don't know if GAMI translates very well in Polish. Probably not. No, never mind. GAMI, kind of like dodgy leg or something like that. You say, I've got a GAMI leg. No, dying. All right, fair enough. I used the term old school in Luxembourg and I got the same response. It's like, oh, what are you talking about, strange foreigner? Anyway, so what's going to happen is each user database that we create is going to have two files to start with. It's going to have a data file and a transaction log file, which if you're in the first session today, Michael's session, he would have talked all about that. Okay. Now, what's going to happen is when you create TempDB, it takes information from the model database to tell you how this is going to be set up. Okay. So if your model database has got one data file, TempDB will have one data file by default before 2016. Okay. God, it's nice that other people are being filmed. I like this. Awesome. So what's going to happen is you can't create a secondary file group, which could cause you potentially problems, or you think it's going to cause you problems. Okay. And the other thing is that TempDB is going to be reinitialized every time. So if you're not sizing TempDB appropriately for your workload, it's going to have to regrow every time you restart your SQL Server service. Okay. So it's worth bearing that in mind because there's going to be a penalty or performance penalty with regard to that, okay? But why is this a big problem for us? Well, we mentioned these special pages, the PFS page. That's actually what we call a bitmap allocation, which means every byte is going to be associated with a particular page and going to give us information about that page in terms of how much space is on there. We've then got a GAM and an SGAM. A GAM is a global allocation map, so that's basically for uniform extents. So a uniform extent is where an extent is dedicated to a particular table. SGAM helps to keep hold of the resources and map what's happening for a shared or a mixed extent. This is where you can have more than one table in that particular extent. Okay, and both of these are what we call bitmap. So each bit represents an entire extent, which means we're going to need to have more PFS pages than we do our GAMs and SGAMs, okay? Now, the problem out of the box with SQL Server and TempDB is the small data file to start with, which means we're going to only have one of each of these to start with. And that's going to create us some tension points, as you might think. Okay. So how do we get around that? That was a question. Several files, yeah?
Create more files.
More files. All the files, okay? Maybe not all the files, because at some point you're going to kind of degrade performance. So the current wisdom, if you can, can be found in this KB article here, okay? The idea around this, it says if you've got less than 8 cores, start with 8. If you've got more than 8 cores, then kind of ramp up from there, really, okay? But do have a read through this because, oh, it's my cursor. Okay. It could vary for your environment. Do some testing. Don't just say, I'm going to set it to this many because some guy with a strange accent told me to. Okay, that would be very, very bad. You should always test this kind of stuff. Now, it's also important that you make sure that you're adding your data files in the right way. So when I'm saying testing, it's going to be pointless just adding one more data file in because I'm going to have the same kind of problem. Does anybody know why that might be? Yes, it's two things. When we're adding data files and assigning data to those data files, SQL Server uses two algorithms. One's called round robin, which means I'm going to go through each of the data files, but there's also something called proportional fill, okay, which means I'm going to choose the emptiest one and write to that first. So if we've got a tempdb data file that looks something like that, proportional fill, and round robin says, well, I can only write to that one, so I'm going to write to that one. However, as soon as I add in a second, this is going to happen. Right, I've got lots of data in here. Oh, I'm going to start filling this one up. At this point, I'm still hitting the same PFS pages, or I'm not sharing the workload. Okay, what will happen is I'm reducing some here because as I'm deleting temporary tables and things, the PFS pages and SGAMs up there is being updated, but anything new is all going to be hitting this second one. So what I'm going to want to do moving forward is to add a bunch of these in, and the round robin and proportional fill is then going to go through and start updating things in a more regular pattern. So therefore, as requests come in, we're more likely to see less contention for the PFS pages and the SGAM pages at that point, okay? So as I said, 2016 is a slightly different beast. In 2016, Microsoft baked in two trace flags in by default, which work for tempdb, okay? The first one is 1117, and the second one is 1118. And basically what this does is it kind of changes the way that our round robin's gonna work, okay? One of the things is it says we're gonna use a global allocation map rather than the shared allocation map, which means, well, if this is dedicated, I don't really need to check what's on this PFS page because I only need to check the PFS page for my mixed extents. So automatically that's gonna half the contention right there, okay? Downside of that is because I'm now saying I want dedicated extents, I'm potentially gonna be grabbing 64K chunks each time where maybe I only want 2 or 3K. So it could increase the size of tempdb. But that's a trade-off I'm happy to make. You know, disk is cheap and all that. Anybody got SSD? Disk's not so cheap. Okay. And the other thing is grow files equally. It can help to reduce workload and, well, not workload, but points where we're waiting on things to grow time and time again, whereas we're just going to take hits every so often. Okay. A couple of other things that changed in 2016, if I can use my clicker properly. There we go. Anybody using 2016? A couple of people? Okay. So for others, this is brand new information, unless you've seen this presentation before. So one of the nice things is this bit here, number of files. So out of the box, it's not going to create one data file anymore. We're going to have lots. Woohoo! Join me. Woo! Awesome. So it's going to use that kind of formula that we touched on before in the KB article to say, based on how many cores you've got, we're going to say you should be having this many data files. Again, that's going to help reduce the contention because we can use multiple different GAMs on multiple different data files, okay? The other thing is, you can set what your tempdb size is gonna be out of the box. That's quite nice, because then if I restart, then I don't have big problems. And the same thing, they've actually changed the autograve settings as well. In fact, I think I've got big pointers for each of these. Look at that. It's almost as though I've prepared. Anybody like using kind of config files and stuff to set up their SQL servers? Some people said they were DBAs. Come on, put your hands up. Okay, so that's the parameter there for setting your tempdb count, tempdb file count, if you want to do things through files, sorry, through config files and stuff like that. Okay, not everybody is a wizard guy. Okay, one of the other nice things is this grant perform volume maintenance task. Does anybody know what that actually means? Instant file initialization. Is that a good thing? Yes. We like that. What that means is it's going to stop having to zero out data for your data file when we grow our data files, okay? That has massive impact on how much time things take when you're auto-growing. If you're not watching tempdb properly, then it's gonna auto-grow a lot. You could be potentially waiting for this to zero out all of the time, okay? So it's a real performance optimization. There is one downside, which is if you claim a lot of space, you can use a command to actually read what was there before. So if you're on shared disks, not so great. How many people have shared disks for their SQL servers, their production SQL servers? Not many, unless you've got special kind of clustered SANs, clustered blocks across disks and things. Doesn't tend to happen too often, okay? So, this is where I go through and hope that my demo works. Now, this slide is there for a very, very good reason. It's not just play on the whole keep calm thing. When I was doing my transaction log demo a little while ago, I had a really great message saying, disk 2 surprised removed. That made no sense. Surprised remove? It's like, it's a sealed laptop. Where did it go? Right. Yeah, I was surprised. I thought like David Copperfield or something had turned up and tried to kill it. Okay, so let's duplicate these. Apply, keep changes. That's where I find my VM's gone to sleep. Aha, right. So this is a neat little trick for finding out how many temporary objects have been created, or temp tables, okay? So what I'm doing is, for some reason, I'm going to my model database. Can't remember why I chose model. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to go through and create a bunch of tables, okay? So I've created some temporary tables. Now, if I look at sys-tables in tempdb, what we can see is the name. Can anybody notice something interesting about the name, or more precisely, the end of the name?
For the session, I mean, it allows you to know between sessions the same name. Tempdb could be used in different sessions, so the end is telling you the differences. The left side will be the same, but the right side will be different.
It is. Something else. So I can have the same table across multiple different sessions is what you're saying, but anything about the numbers there particularly? Sorry? No, it's kind of incrementing, isn't it? Yeah. So if I was to, so based on when it was created, it's gonna kind of auto increment in effect. So what we can do is we can look at tempdb, sys.tables, and we can work out how many temporary tables have been created since the last time it was restarted. So if I haven't been monitoring tempdb at all, I can at least get some information about how many temporary objects have been created and find out if that's going to be a problem for me or not. Okay? So this is a good starting point when you take over things from a new job. Okay? Yeah.
So the number is ever increasing.
Yep, so it's a hex value. So you need to do some calculations to work out how many it is. But then if you also find out the last restarted time or creation time for tempdb, you can kind of work out an average of how many per hour or something like that. Okay. So, let's drop those. That's really going to depend on your workload, to be honest, what you're expecting. If I'm seeing 1 million a minute, I'd be pretty scared, but depending on the hardware, I might not be. You know, it's very hard for me to put a concrete number on that. Okay. So for this, what I'm going to do is we're going to use the same kind of query over and over. So just to explain what's going on, I've got my special database called DBA Control, which allows me to write lots of strange and bizarre stuff that's only meaningful to me. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go through, I've created a loop, an outer loop. Inside that loop, I create a temporary table. Inside that, I insert a bunch of records. Each one is going to have a kind of begin and commit transaction around it implicitly. Then I'm going to drop my table and we'll just kind of see what happens. Okay, so E. So what we're going to do, come on, next one, is we're going to go through and we're going to look at some information that we're going to collect around that kind of sample. Okay, so again, I'm going to use my tempdb database. I'm collating everything. We can see here by querying sys.master files and using database ID equals 2, the infrastructure of this. So before I said multiple data files is going to be a good thing, I'm going to go against that because otherwise it's going to break my demo and you won't be able to see anything bad. Okay. Do as I say, not as I do. Okay. So here we can see the data file and the transaction log file and also the sizes and things like that. So I'm going to go through, I'm going to create my results table. And then I'm going to use a trick from Paul Randall, which is use the command prompt. So, why is my mouse not working properly today? Why can't you recognize the bottom of my monitor? So all I'm going to do in here is we've got the script that we ran before. Come on, double click. So this run tempdb workload, and then all I'm doing is I'm calling this in a bat file, and I'm calling that bat file 100 times to simulate 100 users. Okay, there is obviously software that you can use which will simulate things a lot better. However, you generally have to pay for those. Okay, and if you're in an environment where you can't download anything, I'm sure you can run command prompts. Yeah. So what we're going to do now is we're going to insert some data. Okay. You know, I probably missed my pages that I wanted to grab. But 91 rows affected, so some of them had finished. But what I'm doing here is I'm inserting into my demo results. I'm pulling from the dynamic management object sysdmos waiting tasks. So that's saying, of the queries that are running right now, how many of those are waiting on something? Pulling that back, gathering it with the requests that are happening, and also the sessions. As you can see here, I've got is user process equals 1. So I'm just looking for user processes rather than system stuff. And what that's going to do is bring me back a bunch of information about what these particular queries were running on. Okay. So if I look at this, what we can see is the status of these, the IDs. We can see what kind of commands they were running. We can see the plan handle. So if we wanted to, the SQL handle. So if we wanted to go back into that plan, we could. Okay, we can see the kind of weights. Let me just bring this up. Oh, come on, mouse. Okay. I've been heckled by my own virtual machine. It's not good. What we can also see is how long they're waiting and this wait resource here. Okay, so I should explain this a little bit. So what we have here at the beginning is the database ID. The second number here is going to be our file number within that, and this is going to be our page number. Now, if I'd have ran this quickly enough, I mean, my machine was kind of being hammered by lots of command prompts, not being able to do anything, and a bit of a temperamental mouse, it seems. I should be able to see things like 211, which would have been my first PFS page and things like that, okay? As it happens, when we caught it, we were getting contention on particular pages within our mixed extents to say, I'm waiting to get hold of those particular pages to either create or drop information from my temporary tables. And we can see what cores they're running on as well, so maybe we've got some core problems there. So this is a great way of finding if you've got those contention points, because it might not be worth you adding these extra tempdb files if you're not seeing that. However, I would also say prevention is better than cure. So if I'm not seeing it now, doesn't mean that somebody's not going to add a new database in there tomorrow, which creates lots of temporary tables and things, and it's going to blow everything out the water, okay? In which case, you know, why not do it? So unless you're seeing a specific issue which is stopping you from, you know, having more than one data file, which is going to be pretty unlikely. What the hell is going on with my machine? There we go. Right. So the other thing that I want to show you very, very briefly was this command here. Some serious problems going on with my mouse. From Paul Randall again. So Paul Randall's got a great section on his website, sqlskills.com. He's got a weight statistic library now, and his weight statistic library is actually pulling in stats from Century One. Is that a question? Or stretching? Stretching? Okay. Stretching's fine. As long as you don't decide you want to stretch your legs and walk 50 metres that way, that would be bad. So great stuff. The weight library is kind of showing you information from all the SQL servers that we monitor and have gone into our cloud service. And then you can compare the weights you're seeing with other people's weight statistics to see if that really is a problem or not. Okay. So Paul Randall has written this, and basically what it's going to do is it's going to go through and allow us to kind of get rid of a lot of weight stats that we're not particularly interested in. Now, one thing I will say, which might be a bit of an urban myth, does that mean anything to anyone? Urban myth, old wives' tale, might not be true. Okay, this bit here. Oh, that's too high now. I'm only short. Oh, I really hope this holds my weight. Oh, no. That one. That weight for. Okay. I forgot what I was going to say now. There are some dubious people about. How many people said they were developers? How many people of those developers are contractors? Do you see where I'm going with this? So I have seen bits of code which do have wait for in, and I've heard the story that people come back month after month. Yeah, I can shave a second off your query. Thank you. Pay very much. And all because they reduced the wait for. So although it's benign, you might want to check for that. Okay. So yeah, may or may not be true. You can't trust everyone. Okay. Right. So if we go through this, this is what the Paul Randall's query was saying we were predominantly waiting on. Okay. So this is all about the pages that we're trying to access in memory. So page latch EX, page latch exclusive, up for update, SH for shared. Okay. So this is what was happening. We were creating our table, inserting records, and then dropping them. Okay. So these are the three main kind of locks or latches that we would expect to see. Right. So how do we go through and make this faster? Because that's what we want to know, isn't it? How do we make stuff go fast? Anybody not want to make stuff go faster? No? Okay. Apparently my car manufacturer. Right. So what we're going to do is we're going to go through, and this time we're going to kind of jump ahead of what I said the agenda was going to be. Because what we're going to do is we're going to grab some performance metrics as part of this test. Because I can't prove if things are going faster unless I knew what was happening before. Make sense? Good. So the first one we're going to look at is SysDM OS performance counters. So if you don't know, there are certain performance counters that you can get from inside SQL Server, and you can query those, which is quite nice. Okay. So the first one we're going to get is temp tables creation rate, so the number of temporary tables that are being created. And this one, temp tables for destruction. So this is a queue of temporary tables for the number of temporary tables that are queued up to be deleted. Okay, so marked for deletion, in other words. Okay, then what I'm going to do is we're going to query this DMO here, DMOS memory cache counters. So this gives us an indication of how much memory is available for each of the different caches inside of SQL Server. Okay, and there just happens to be one for temporary tables. So we can see how much space temporary tables are taking up in our environment as well. Okay, so as I said before, we're going to use the same query over and over again. So there's the query. And then we're going to grab the kind of after results so we can see what's going on. So when we look through this, we can see here's our cache, 16K to start with. Oh, come on. 16K afterwards. We created 500 temporary tables and there are none marked for deletion. This would indicate to me that this is happening as part of a synchronous process, okay? Which means when I'm running my query, it's actually dropping the temporary table on the same thread before it goes on to do anything else. Does that make sense? Okay. Now, what we can do is we can make some of this go faster, which is obviously what we want to do. So, what I decided to do was to create a stored procedure. Ha ha. Stored procedures being obviously better. Anybody disagree? I have the microphone, you're wrong. Right, so we're going to do the same thing apart from I have this tempdb stored procedure now. Okay, so if we look in here, all I'm going to do is the same kind of thing, some parameters, passing these through, and oh, that still doesn't work. Annoying. Create my temporary table, blah, 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 the end. Okay, so let's go through and run that. Let's close that one first. Select. Click, click, there we go. So we're going to grab the same stuff again, but this time running a stored procedure rather than ad hoc code. Now, this time, things are slightly different, okay? What we can see now, I'm caught on my microphone. Before, our cache was 16K, now it's 240K. This indicates to me we still have some temporary table space being used. And if we go down and have a look at our temp tables destroyed, we can now see there are 416 queued to be destroyed, which now means I'm using an asynchronous thread to go through and destroy these temporary tables, which means each core can go on to the next task a bit faster than it could before, because there's going to be a background task going through saying, I want to destroy these temporary tables. So I can actually get more concurrency going through. And if we'd have taken proper timings, we'd have seen that this ran a bit faster than the last one. Okay. On a laptop with other things running on the background, you know, it's horses for courses as to what's actually going to happen, especially seeing as my mouse doesn't seem to want playing. So what we're going to do now is try and find out why it didn't use one table. Because that's the holy grail, isn't it? What we want to do is just create one temporary table and reuse that every time. Wouldn't that be a lot more efficient? Yeah? So, what I've done is I've created a second store procedure. And what I'm doing in here is kind of the same stuff. Okay, let's go back again. Had I just highlighted that? So this time using SP2, what's happened? Now, what I can see up here is my pages kilobytes 16, pages kilobytes 16. So I've got nothing in the temporary cache. Down here, one table created, none marked for deletion. I've only created one table and reused that table 500 times. Now, there's a lot less locking going on, a lot less latching going on. I don't need to recreate my stats every time. That's going to be a huge saving. You can't see this, but it's saying now takes 0 seconds. Okay. Now, that's going to be a massive throughput improvement when you kind of scale this out across God knows how many users, you know, cores, whatever else. Okay. So this is going to be a big, big thing. So How come with this stored procedure it worked and on the last stored procedure it didn't? Well, I didn't kind of show you everything. I kind of glossed over a little bit. Now, in stored procedure one, what I did was I had my temporary table and I created a clustered index on it. And then I altered my table. God, this mouse is doing my head in now. I altered the table to add in a constraint which will give me a non-clustered index. Okay. Now, the problem is, if I want temporary table reuse, I'm not allowed to change my temporary table. And by adding in an extra index, it's changed the schema in effect. Okay, so that's broken the reusability. However, it still allowed me to do the marked for destruction bit. So it's still going to be that bit faster. Now, in 2014 and above, what you can do is you can do something called an inline index. So this bit here, which I'm not able to highlight, this bit here, that bit there, okay, is now not going to break this rule because I'm doing it as part of creating the table. So therefore my schema hasn't changed, it's part of the initial schema, okay? And that allows me to get the reuse available, which gives me all that extra throughput, okay? So if we go back, which requires using the mouse, so that might be scary. These are the golden rules that we need to abide by, okay? So the first thing is, well, not do, I should say, really. So creating name constraints is going to break things. Changing the DDL in any kind of way, I'll move out with a shot for this. Using dynamic SQL is going to break things because obviously we don't know what's going to be created. It's not going to cache it, that kind of stuff. And you need to use prepared code, not ad hoc code. So as we saw in the first bit, it created 500 temporary tables, it deleted 500 temporary tables. Okay. Who's going to take this back and use this? Nobody. Oh, it's worth coming. Right. Next. Right. So the next thing we're going to be talking about is memory grants. Okay. This is another area where we're going to potentially spill to tempdb. Okay. So what happens when we run a query? Well, the query is going to be submitted. The optimizer is going to go through this. It's going to check things like statistics to find out what kind of operators need to be used. And part of this is based on these operators, it's going to say you need this amount of memory. Okay. So how many people were in Pedro's session earlier? A few people. Okay. So I'm running CTP3, so I've not got some of the stuff that he was talking about in here. Actually, no, I'm running 2014 RTM. So no, again, but, so we're not going to see all the warnings that are available in SP2 or 2016 SP1, but it gives you an idea of the kind of things that you should be looking for. Okay. So the other thing is, when you're trying to run your query, it will only run that query when it has that amount of contiguous memory available. If not, you will see a performance counter, memory grants pending, that will start to go up. Okay. That indicates that you've got memory pressure on your machine. Okay. And then hopefully your query is going to run. So let's go through back here and look to see if we can force a memory issue. So again, I'm going to use DBA control. I've created a table called Spilly Me because I thought that would be quite funny. Obviously not. Okay. Then what I'm going to do is I'm going to insert 1,000 records. Now what I'm doing is I'm using a numbers table, otherwise known as a tally table. Okay. So it's kind of a set-based way of doing this, so I'm not going through in a cursor round and round and round, okay? Just one nice command saying, insert 1,000 rows, okay? And if we were to look at this, we'd see 1,000 rows, which is marvellous, I'll spare you that. Now, what I'll do is, if I get my query plan...
It's not on. Yeah.
It's not.
Maybe you try...
Come on.
Reconnect to virtual machine because you've changed resolution during the presentation. So it looks like it has some kind of offset. No.
Oh, that's going to take forever to restart my machine. I should use cursors. The keyboard cursors, not the database ones, that would be evil. Right, so what we're going to do is we're going to run this query now and we'll see that it's going to go through and want to use a sort operator. Okay. Now, ordinarily, I would use Plan Explorer because I find it a lot easier to read what's going on. But what we can see here is we're grabbing some information. We don't have all of that information, so we're having to go back to the base table using a key lookup to get the rest of the data. We're then joining this, and then we're sorting that information, okay, to get back to what we want. However, because we're only returning a couple of records, this isn't going to spill to tempdb. And what we can do is we can prove that by going down here and seeing some more information about tempdb. So what I'm doing is I'm creating another kind of results file called file stats, and we're going to grab the same kind of performance counters as before. However, this time, what we're also doing is we're grabbing this information here, sysdm.io virtual file stats. And this is going to give me information about what was happening for each database file. Okay. In this case, I'm just looking for the stuff associated with tempdb. Okay. So I'll be able to see how many reads and writes and things have occurred during this demo. We go through, we'll run our query, we'll grab the rest of the information, and hopefully we'll get an indication of what was going on. So, as before, cache store, exactly the same. Temporary tables, doesn't seem to have created any temporary tables. So obviously hasn't done anything in tempdb. And if we go through, we can see the number of reads and writes were the same. So in this scenario, even though we've used sort, it's not touched tempdb, it's managed to do all of that in memory because we granted the correct amount. Okay. And if you go into the execution plan, it will tell you what that amount is. Okay. So if we go down here, what I can do is I can actually make SQL Server do some horrible things, which is kind of what I'm paid to do. Not a DBA, that was when I worked properly for a living. Okay. So what we've got here is we've got the statistics name for this particular clustered index. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to break SQL Server. Not really badly, but just enough to break statistics. So I've worked out what the threshold should be before statistics are updated, took one off of that, said, I'm going to insert this many records. Okay. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to insert 699 more records. I should probably point out I'm a Spurs fan, so that's why it says anybody but Arsenal. Don't know if that means anything to anyone, but it does in the UK. Sorry? Good. In fact, everybody should tweet James Rowland Jones now and say, this guy's trying to annoy you. He's a big Spurs fan. So when we did our select count, which I just kind of glossed over, it returned 1,699 rows, or told me there were. However, if we look at our DBC show stats, it's saying we only have 1,000 in there. Okay, that's because I've tricked it, because it's not hit the next threshold to update stats. Okay, so what's going to happen now? If we do the whole thing again, where we go through, grab the information, run our query, grab the information again, so we've got our delta, what's going to happen over here is, if I grab my execution plan, Jesus. Right, you can almost see it. Okay, so we've got a little yellow highlight here. Okay, I click on this and zoom in and go down a bit more, go down a bit more. We can see operator used tempdb to spill data during execution with spill level 1. So there's a couple of different levels of spills. Won't go into those today, but the idea is this is going to give you an informational warning that you've actually used more memory than you were supposed to, and I've had to go to tempdb, and tempdb is doing all the work for that, at which point you're likely to see more contention with everyone creating temporary tables and things. Okay, so what we can also do is we can look at the results that we had. And if we scroll down here, come on. We're not seeing any temporary tables being created, but what we're seeing is a different number of reads and writes. So we can definitely tell that tempdb has been accessed. So in the background, it's going to use work files. Okay. So let's go back to the main presentation. So a couple more things that we're going to want to go through and monitor. So these are some of the key things that I look at. Number of work files being created, which would have helped us with the spills. Number of work tables being created, so that's going to be our temporary tables, our temporary objects that we're creating. This is going to tell us how many of those are happening in cache, how many were recreated. Next set, information about cursors. Can anybody tell me a good threshold that I'd want to panic about for this one? Okay, one. Yeah, means somebody's using cursors, that would be bad. Yeah. obviously then we want to trace, find out who did it, slap them a bit. Okay. Other things we want to use, active temp tables, the creation rate, the rate for destruction as well, so things we saw before when creating our store procedures. Logical disk information. Now, some people will say, well, there's no need not to put everything on the same drive. Yeah, you can argue that, but I like to put tempdb on a different drive because I can then see this information from performance counters. It gives me information about tempdb that I know is just for tempdb and not loads of other user databases and things. And I can't guarantee what the next IO subsystem is going to be. Okay, so a little work on my part and possibly the sysadmin team, you know, I can get some extra information that's meaningful to me. Okay, and basically this is going to tell us the throughput and the latency. Okay. Other things we're going to be wanting to look at, information around transactions. So we mentioned the version store earlier on. So when you're using things like triggers, optimistic concurrency, what's going to happen is it's going to use the version store by default, and that's going to take up space. So this allows us to see how much space is being taken up. So if we've got long running transactions, this might mean that our version store is going to grow because it's not able to clean things up, because it can't clean up things that are still being used. Okay, so maybe this is eating up some of our space, for example. Okay. So this query is very, very useful. Something I think is actually in Books Online. Okay, but this is going to help you to understand where the problems in tempdb are coming from in terms of what's using this space. Okay, so this first part up here helps to tell me how much space is being used by applications that are creating temporary tables. Okay, again, through the example before, we found out how we can go through and reuse temporary tables, so hopefully we can reduce this. Okay, come on, clicker. The next one is going to help us find out how many are taken up by query operators, so things like our sorts, etc. So again, maybe there are things around statistics that we might be able to go through and change how that's working to reduce that particular area of tempdb usage. The next one's going to be the version store. As we mentioned before, there could be problems with version store going on in terms of long-running transactions. Again, that's just going to be query tuning to make sure that these run in a more optimal time, so not running and blocking other things. And then these last two are basically just kind of internal fragmentation problems. Okay, so how much wasted space and things have we got going on? Okay, so I think the other thing that we need to bear in mind is that this is all great, but we need to have a starting point. Okay, and this is where baselining comes in. Completely different subject, but we're not going to make sure that we've improved performance unless we had a baseline to start with. Okay, so what we're going to need to do is find out more information about baselining. So I've done a session there if you want to watch that online. Feel free. Again, there's a slide share post there if you just want to look through the notes and not hear my annoying voice. Okay. Obviously, lots of other people have done this as well. Okay, so that's pretty much it for me. Apart from one more comment. So sorry, contractors, I kind of picked on you a bit today. And then one final cat picture. Okay, so that's it for me. If you do need to get hold of me for any reason, I'm here until probably about 3 o'clock when I'm flying out. So these are my details again, if you want to get hold of me. Unfortunately, I don't have any business cards, but you know, I'm around, okay? So thank you very much. Try not to put too many red cards in.